Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. This is Amin Muhammad. Amin Yasir Muhammad, calling from our show, the Millionaires Investors Club, Los Angeles. Alhamdulillah. And this is a financial education and a financial empowerment show. Based on the teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad, you know, alhamdulillah. So I'll open up with Al-Fatiha, which is A'udhu Billahi Min Shaitan Rajeem, Bismillahi Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Qiyawmideen, Iyaka Nabudu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een, Ihtiraf Rasul Mustaqeem, As-salamu alaykum, dear believers, brothers and sisters, and friends, and interested people, alhamdulillah. Right now, at this moment, I'm witnessing, let me turn it down a little bit, got these motorcycles here. I'm witnessing some police action here in Los Angeles here, and people noticing this, especially with the homeless situation. Especially with the homeless situation, we see so much what we could describe as a lot of mental illness. Illness, like a brother was saying earlier today, one of my brothers who is getting his real estate license again, and I said, wow, the homeless situation is kind of big, and he said, well, yes, a lot of people who are homeless, but they're mentally ill, you know, mentally ill, so. How do you, I mean, that's a tall order there. I mean, trying to help people when they're mentally ill and then trying to house them. You know, I guess we can if we have the political, economic will as a nation, as a people, as American people who want to help the situation of the people of goodwill. Who want to help that situation. You know, it's wealth here. America's is a wealthy country. We just might have to change the way we look at wealth and, you know, and the system that we have here. Yes, the people could, you know, as rich people, America, you could become rich, you know, if you have a product or a mind, you know, and have the will and the character, you know, you can become rich. And this is what we are trying to do. We're trying to learn ways that different millionaires have become millionaires, you know. And so speaking of the homeless situation, if we have the political economic will, we could solve the problem. It's, I guess the way we would do it is try to not create a lot of mentally ill people in the first place. You know, in other words, what are some of the ways that, you know, we could stop the mentally ill from becoming mentally ill, first of all, stop the bleeding, stop the hemorrhaging, you know, the bleeding. And then I guess we have to allocate billions of dollars, you know, nationally to the homeless situation. And I wonder if we have the political will, you know, if this is a capitalist country here, capitalist country, but we do have I guess, what do you call it, a stopgap or a welfare system that helps people when they're need help and they can't fend for themselves and they can't survive. You know, what do? You know, we just throw them out the back door or the front door and let them sleep on the street, you know what I mean? What do? I mean, do we have that moral responsibility? Do we have that? Do we assume that responsibility to help the citizens of our country? You know, it's, I guess these are moral questions that we have to ask ourselves. You know, how do we solve this homeless situation where people are sleeping on the street? You know what I mean? We have looked at places we say examples of, like, you know, Calcutta. They say in Calcutta in India, people sleeping on the street in places like India, you know, like poor nations. But America is a rich nation. It's a rich nation. I know we have a situation where we, our borders are open. People could come into America, you know what I mean? And they come here in America and they are hungry and they want to live and they want to prosper. But what do you do with the people who are already here who can't necessarily compete with a hungry man? How can you compete with a hungry man who will work hard for a little when everybody's so used to a certain way of life, a certain standard of living, and then we have to compete with people, you know? But the human beings who are hungry and are willing to work hard for a little bit. So these are moral questions that we've been asking as Americans for a long time. Alhamdulillah, ever since, you know, but on the other hand, we have, we know we have open borders and we know we have the Latino population, and then the Latino population, a lot of them say that, you know, this land was taken from them and they have a right to it. They call it Aslan, you know, especially in the West here, where California and Nevada and Colorado and New Mexico and places like that the United States or the white man took it from these Mexican people and Indian people. Mexican people are really just Indian people who speak Spanish, you know, and they come from Central and South America. And so all this plays on the homeless situation, you know, and a situation where so many of our youngsters, you know what I mean, they are expendable. You know, they're not useful. They can't be used for labor like these other people, or they can be if people give them a chance. So they build prisons. They build private prisons here, now in the United States, and then they give the kids gangster rap. They give the children rap that promotes criminality, rap that promotes crime and violence and immoral behavior and, you know, theft involved in prostitution, pimping. You know, it's almost like a pride thing to say someone is a pimp. They're a pimp, and they call the women the B word and the H word. You know, and I use this as a writing to children at the school that I work at, I teach at, you know, to respond to these questions about gangster rap and calling the woman the B word and the H word and the violence that is in these rap songs, so-called hip-hop, the mainly Latino classes that I have, they responded. These questions I ask, hit a nerve in them, and they responded. They wrote, and they gave their opinion. One of the last questions that I asked them is that if you were a parent, would you allow your child to imitate gangster rappers? If you were a parent, would you allow your child to imitate gangster rappers? And almost 99% of them, almost 100% of them, almost. No. I wouldn't want my child to develop those types of behaviors and alhamdulillah, let's take a moment out. Be right back. Alhamdulillah, take a break. Okay, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, back. So these are questions, and that we have to think about as people. And I do know one thing: if we had more money as a people, we would be better off. If we had more money, if we had wealth, if we learn how to accumulate wealth. I mean, get rich, millionaires, and this is what we are advocating. This is what we are professing. You know, this is what we want to do. I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of saying rich. You know what I mean? We get this. I guess we get. So much of our fear from being raised with the Bible, where talk about it's almost like a sin to have money and to want money and a rich man can't get into heaven and all this type of thing that we learned in Christianity. And it's a part of the rulers, the ruling class, to have us accept ideas like this, that it's wrong, it's a sin to want money. Yes, it's a wrong, it's a sin if you do it illegally, if you do illegal things. But Allah tells us, seek the hereafter, but don't forget your share of this material world. You know what I mean? And our leader, Imam Muhammad, says it, you better go after wealth. You know, if you don't, someone who has the wealth is going to own you and use you, and your family, your wife, your children, you know, so you better, you know, go after wealth, and don't be afraid, and don't be ashamed, you know what I mean? Don't let nobody shame you. I think this is some of the attitude that I think I'm witnessing, but it just may be something in me. It's something in me. You know, when I talk about the Millionaire Investor Club of Los Angeles, you know, and I announced that on Blog Talk Radio sometimes, you know, but our people should be, of any people in the world, our people, our Muslim people under the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad should be ready for this type of message, and not fear it, and not fear. Don't have fear. You know what I mean? We know what morals are. We know what right is. We know what wrong is. We know what, you know what I mean, theft is. We know what robbery is. We know what the wrong way to accumulate wealth or have wealth. You know, we know, you know, give ourselves a little credit, you know. And so now that we have cleaned ourselves up, you know, allowed the religion to enter our heart and clean ourselves up and everything, it's time to talk about money and time to talk about wealth, you know, and it's time to talk about millionaires. I have an Ethiopian, one of my Ethiopian brothers, he transitioned. But I met him when years ago. You know, we lived in a apartment building together, and he's from Ethiopia. You know, he was from Ethiopia, transitioned now. But he used to say in his tribe that they take pride in producing millionaires and doctors. Either doctor or millionaires. You know what I mean? That's what they took pride in. Producing doctors, I guess, educated people, scientists, doctors. You could just say, well, just doctors. And then millionaires, people who knew how to accumulate wealth, you know. And, you know, we kind of laughed about it, but he was serious, you know. And, you know, that's how some areas of the world, they capitalize it, just make it so easy to understand, you know. Millionaires or doctors and doctors in his tribe. He was from the Hadar tribe, Hadar tribe, you know, the in Ethiopia, the big, tribes, the ruling class tribe is the Amharic tribe. You know, those are, and they're mainly Christian. They're Christian in Ethiopia. Those were the ones who kind of like adapted to communism and socialism in Ethiopia. And so many of them came to the United States, you know, here in Los Angeles. It was a big Ethiopian presence. A lot of them worked in the service industries. They concentrated and focused on working out at the airport. You know, they were some of the workers at the airport. And see, like they were in that service. It looked like a whole bunch of them was in that service thing here in Los Angeles. And they were Christian. They were Christians, so. But, you know. So, all praise be to Allah. We started out talking about the homeless because there was some police action happening. And you can see it's a lot of people who are mentally ill. And and need help, and they sometimes they act out, and sometimes they get loud, and people are afraid of them. And so when the police roll up, you know, we hope that the police don't roll up and start shooting at them, you know what I mean? But they should have some type of procedure when they deal with mentally ill people. They should have a special procedure. They shouldn't just beat them up and shoot them and everything. But it's a lot here in Los Angeles. I wonder how it is in other places, you know what I mean? But I can imagine it's you know. They have a Caucasian running for mayor in Caruso, who own a big Suave Los Angeles called The Grove. And in The Grove, they have a lot of shops, a lot of businesses and everything. And the businesses are kind of like upscale businesses. Call it groups. His name is Caruso. And he's running against a sister named Karen Bass. And this situation that happened in Los Angeles last week, where these Latinos were caught on tape, you know, talking crazy about African-American racist stuff, that thing. People are asking, you know, was all that a part of the election coming up? Because it really, you know, in a sense, is splitting up the African-American coalition here. That, you know, here that woman called an African-American child a monkey and stuff. Oh, so much other stuff that she said. Her name is Neri Martinez. And so the African-American Latino coalition, you know, is kind of threatened. So we have a lot of people, the Latinos too. And our President Joe Biden flew in town. He said, hey, they all, you know, they should decide. All four of them. It was three councilmen and the head of the county Federation of Labor here. And he was kind of like listening in on it too. So Biden came to town and said, hey, they should resign. You know, so he weighed in too. But Caruso, the Caucasian, he's a developer also. He's a real estate developer. He says that he has an approach to really help this homeless situation. And in his first year, he want to prove that he could do it. In fact, his ad, see, that's all they talk about is the homeless situation. The first, you know, he talked about the homeless. He's zeroing in, right? Right where it needs to be, you know. Yeah, so this is the Millionaires Investors Club of Los Angeles. And within the last few days, we have made some more discoveries of a couple books written by Thomas J. Stanley, Ph.D., and William D. Danko, Ph.D., They wrote books, The Millionaire Next Door and The Millionaire, and after that one, The Millionaire Mind. And he talks about the seven factors or the seven characteristics or the common denominator that these hundreds, you know, because they say they interviewed hundreds of millionaires and ask them about different, you know, different ways they thought, their behavior over time, and they got all these statistics and everything. And so they put them in this book, and it's interesting. I'm going to make sure that I read both of these books and so I'll be able to talk about the content of these books and the study, you know, and talk about it, because we can't do things in the dark. We can't do things in a superstitious way, almost like voodoo and juju, like you know, you talk about. You know, we have to have some basis that we need to approach it while we are actually building a business, and we should just get more information about how to go about it. Some very basic things we need to plug in to some mentors. Of course, we have talked about Robert Kiyosaki and here and the sister, Lynn Richardson, you know, who has a group called the Millionaires Roundtable. So that's what we want to do. And I got my card being made up, and I'll be able to hand out my cards to Muslims here on the West Coast and get us a nice audience of people and attract some people to our cause and to our club, and more Muslims here. Let them know that we have a radio show that we discuss wealth and financial education and financial literacy. And so this is what we need, you know, for our community. The cards, I had in mind the non-Muslim community also, but probably I'll end up catering and targeting the Muslim population, because we talk Muslim talk on this show, and maybe some non-Muslim people may not understand, but they may. But I'm going to invite them if they want, yeah, because the information that we're going to disseminate is good. It's going to be, inshallah, good information, and you know, for us, and for them too, you know. So, if anybody want to say something, press 1 on your phone, and I'll bring you in, and you could give your information, comment, question, whatever. And so, what we want to do is we want to play it up, and we want to play it up, and have more people dialing into our show every other night, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. While I reach out to the community, one of the things that I want to do is reach out to the local Muslim community here and invite them to let me show them how to get the real estate license, the California real estate license here, you know, and get into the business, because our masjids, I really am not aware of our masjids here having a business club or a business outreach at the masjids where they meet. And, you know, and so this is what we need to do to get our STEM, as we go about it, get our STEM education. In other words, more and more, you know, educate more and more people to STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, for our schools, and then have more people at the masjids talk about business, and learn. Now, you know, a lot of brothers know how to hustle. Like here in L.A. on the West Coast, a lot of brothers knew how to go downtown, Los Angeles, down to the closer area. It used to be maybe the Jews, but right now, for the last 20, 30 years, it's been the Chinese down there. And they got all that stuff that they import from China. And down there on Fifth in Los Angeles, and Fourth in Los Angeles, and Boyd Street and Third in Los Angeles and everything. They got all those shops that sell everything the Chinese could make it. And it was always a way for brothers who knew, like Muslims, you know, a lot of the Muslims used to go down there and buy that stuff and go back in the community and sell it, make money. Some people got very good at it, at vending and selling and everything. So to where we had brothers who got with the Lakers for many years, the Lakers dominated. So I know one brother out here, Brother Sadiq, you know, he just got with the Lakers, and good God, and he got good at making up them T-shirts, the Laker T-shirts, and then Lakers was winning championships, you know, Magic and Kareem, and going way back. Brother Man used to have like a crew of Muslims, maybe 8 or 9 or 10 Muslims, and they'd be in different parts of town, and he'd be supplying them with T-shirts and caps and all kind of Laker stuff. Oh, brother, yeah, and my brother got, 13 children, got 13 children, and had about 2 or 3 wives. he wasn't letting no grass grow on his thing, and he helped me in different situations and stuff, and I watched him, and I learned, how to hustle. Brothers was going down town and getting stuff and just learned the vend. That we watched the white man. We watched the white man, how the white man did it. We used to get out there and vend and do our little part. You know what I mean? And alhamdulillah. So we're still growing. Elijah Muhammad kind of set us on a good trajectory by having us selling those papers. Muhammad Speaks a long time ago and selling the pies. And a lot of us got the fear. Got the fear taken out of us because we had to learn how to talk to people and approach people and humor people, and we learn how to sell. Go, Abdullah Muhammad talked about go door to door. You know, people are lazy, so take it to the door. And so we had a lot of this, and so we had to, you know, also learn how to go to the next level. This is what we're going to have to do: is learn how to go to the next level, and learn how to. And this is what something that the imam bringing, because he was talking about us renting these storefronts. The imam said renting storefronts, and if we had refrigerators or what do we have, we put them in the storefront. If another brother has some type of product, you know, let him sell them through the store. And we had to learn, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to learn. Learn to go to the next level, you know, and maybe the, inshallah, yes, the corporate level. That's what we're going to do, go to the corporate level. I'm a licensed real estate broker, so my activity is governed by the state of California. I have to stay within the rules. I just can't do anything, you know. Because whatever I put out, whatever I put out flyers or do any type of advertisement, I got to give people my real estate license number. And anybody could call and report me if I did something wrong, or say I did something wrong, they can call and report me and use my license number. But the Department of Real Estate, they know. And they know how to handle that situation, you know. But eventually, we'll have to do the corporate thing, you know. So these two books, The Millionaire Next Door, I would hope that people in time would order the books and read them and let's discuss them, and other books too. But I like this, The Millionaire Next Door and The Millionaire Mind. And let's see what Dr. Stanley is saying and Dr. Danko is saying. They're both PhDs at prestigious universities. They put together this study of the commonality and the characteristics of people who accumulated millions of dollars, a millionaire, who are millionaire. And they say a certain way that they live and do stuff that is a commonality between us. I like, what do you call it, the common denominator, all of certain things. And I think we read this. For instance, they say, number one, the seven factors. They call it in the beginning of this book, the seven factors. And he goes through and he breaks down them factors in later chapters of the book to give more explanation. But he says seven factors. He says they live well below their means. They live well below their means. They live well below their means. And in other words, you know, they could live high or look like they're living high on the hog, but they don't want to. You know, they much rather use that money that they're. That's one thing, you know, about my brother here, too, the one I talk about here. He never did. It's just recently that he bought him a brand new BMW. But, you know, he used to put his money into real estate. He put his money into going down to the probate court and bidding on property, you know, in the court. With the judge conducting the auction, and he go down there and he buy that property. You know, he love to do that. Love to go down to the probate court to the auction, and he got some nice properties. And he said, "I don't want nothing east of Crenshaw. Crenshaw is kind of like the dividing line." Between east side and west side, kind of like well-to-do people on the west, not so much well-to-do people on the east. And then he went out, and he wasn't scared of them white folk. He went out there to Venice. He wasn't scared of them white folk. And he went out to Venice, and he got some Venice properties. You know what I mean? And they may not have liked it, but he didn't care. And, you know, And he gets some of those apartments out there on the beach in Venice, California, on the beach, you know. And so he, you know, of course, he built himself a house, you know, from the ground up. That's one of his claim to fame, built a house from the ground up. But he wasn't really, in fact, he told me one time when he first met me, he said, "Say, brother, let's ride down to the court together so we ain't got to pay two parking spots. We could just pay one. Let's go together so we can save that money." And he probably told me that because he was teaching me. I guess he said, let me drop this on him. And I was impressed by that because I went back out and was saying, you know what he said? And people used to say, "Well, see, that's why he got money, because that's how he think, you know." He said, "Let's ride down to the courthouse together and park, so we only have one thing." Alhamdulillah. So, if anybody wants to say anything, hit one on your phone. Hit one. I'll bring you in the queue, and you know. So, the seven factors. He says they live. Let me get my glasses. He says they live well below the means. They put their money. He said they allocate their time, energy, and money efficiently in ways conducive to building wealth. In other words, hey, you could spend your money all day at a baseball game, or you could spend your money, you know, or your time, energy. He says your time, energy, and what else? Energy and money. Your time, energy, and money. So, you know, if you want to be wealthy, rich, you got to find something that you know is working for you and put your time and your energy there. You know, if you're making money, you see, put your time, energy, and money in something, you know, in other words, sacrifice, you see. So that's a second characteristic. Allocate your time, energy, and money efficiently in ways conducive to building wealth. You know, they don't gamble and be drinking. I mean, some of them might drink, because these, you know, of course, you know, of course, we ain't doing that, but, you know, the time, energy, and money in ways conducive to building wealth. They believe that financial independence is more important than displaying high social status. They believe financial, and I'll be able, once I read the book and read his examples, I'll be able to explain more, talk about these more. You know, right now I'm just interpreting what it says here, just in black and white. They believe that financial independence is more important. Nobody, to me, they pride themselves on being, you know, not being tied down to a job, or they, you know, they pride themselves on that. They're financially independent. You know what I mean? And they like that. They like that. Number four, their parents did not provide economic outpatient care. I got to read about what he said, economic outpatient care. To me, you know, running home to mama and daddy and borrowing money when you run into a problem. No, that's me. But I gotta read that. But it just sounds like what he's saying is they, you know, never did want to just run home to daddy and borrow money to get them out of the jam. Their adult children are economically self-sufficient. They're adult children. So I guess their adult children saw how daddy or mommy lived their life, and they model after them, and they are economically self-sufficient too, you know. But I'll be able to read more. This, I've only gotten to the first introduction. I've been so busy. But I'll be able to break this down even more. Okay. They are proficient in targeting market opportunities. You know, for instance, one of my friends, he has worked in the 99-cent business for many years. He worked for the Arabs. He's a brother. He worked for the Arabs. Worked for the Sudanese. I'm thinking Indo-Pacs, but mainly the Arabs. And he worked in the 99-cent business. And he was able to see how they do the 99-cent business. Is what they do is, like, they go on the east side of town where they have a lot of big warehouses. Well, say this person or this group have five 99-cent stores. Say they got five 99-cent stores in different parts of Los Angeles, maybe in Compton, and then maybe maybe one in Watts, and then, you know, maybe three in L.A. somewhere else. So they have five. But they have a warehouse that keeps all the merchandise that they need to be sold in the five stores. They just in this warehouse. So all anybody have to do is jump in their truck, go down there and get the goods, and then go take the goods back to the store, you know, and sell it retail. But they have these big, huge warehouses that keep all that stuff. You see what I mean? And so Shaheed knows all about this. He knows a lot of their secrets. And now he's been knowing them. This is why me and him, you know, he's trying to get his real estate license turned back on, is because now he sees that a lot of those immigrants who own those stores and smoke, they got smoke shops too. A lot of them have smoke shop where they sell cigarettes and tobacco and stuff and all that. A lot of them have money, and a lot of them want to buy property. So that's Shaheed's niche. This is his niche that he is telling me all the time. He's saying, "Man, yeah, I'm gonna hurry up and get my license, man, because these guys, you know what I mean? See, Shaheed has been selling them, going to their stores and putting incense and oils that he get incense. He packages up. And he got 30, 40, 50 stores that he goes and he takes this incense to. And so now he knows a lot of those immigrants who own those shops, those smoke shops, those 99 cent stores and other little stores, you know, because he puts his incense in their stores and he knows them. And so now, you know, he's been talking to them about real estate. They're asking about real estate. They want to buy real estate. You know, and I'm telling Shaheed, okay, let's get this CoStar going. Let me get that CoStar account again. And, you know, let's put them in some apartment buildings. Let's put these immigrants, these guys in some apartment buildings, see? You know, and this is how one way you make your money, but also you develop that and you share that with your own people, our own African-American people, too, our own Muslim people. But we know that we want to be able to make the money also with these immigrant Muslims, you see. So this is Shaheed's little niche that he, and this is what the guy says. This is what they say. He says they are proficient in targeting market opportunities. That's a market opportunity that, me and Shaheed have, you know what I mean, going to these immigrants all over, these Indo-Paks, these Arabs, these Africans, the Africans from Nigeria, the Africans from Sudan, not so much from Nigeria, a lot of them is Christians, but if they, I do know some Muslims from Senegal. You know, these Senegalese are merchants too. A lot of them, like Brother Kasim and Brother Ndongo that I've known, they got money. These are Muslims from Senegal. Very black people. They're black people. Black is your tire. You know what I mean? But the good brothers though. And a lot of them are merchants. A lot of them want to buy, especially if you show them something. Get CoStar going, and show them about some apartment buildings. We'll find through CoStar. We got to get. I'm inviting help too. If you have, if you want to help me invest back in CoStar, about $1,200. Just give me a call. We could talk about it. Alhamdulillah. So this is what Shaheed is doing, and Shaheed is going to get his real estate license turned back on. This is what this guy's saying. He says market opportunity. Market opportunity. They are proficient in targeting market opportunities, and they chose the right occupation. They chose the right occupation. I don't really know what that means, but they chose the right occupation because I don't think that a lot of the millionaires, well, some of the millionaires just mean, you know, maybe you could, you know, have a job and invest in 401k and all that type of stuff. Or you could have a job and then invest on the side. But I don't know. I'm going to read the book. I got to read the book. I got to get into their head and actually. But those are the seven. Those are the seven factors, they call them, or characteristics or common denominator that all these millionaires have in common. You know what I mean? And this is what we need to do. And I'm going to read, inshallah, I'm going to read both of these books, Find Time and Sacrifice, and read both The Millionaire Mind and The Millionaire Next Door, you know. And I got to get a subscription to Robert Kiyosaki's show. And I love Blog Talk Radio, but I don't know. I might have to kind of cut back on my Blog Talk. You know, I like to keep up with the, you know, these brothers and sisters talking about the religion, talking about the gene, but I don't know. I need to, I think, maybe concentrate a little bit more on some of these shows that, you know, based on economic education, you know, financial education, financial literacy, you know, a little bit more. And as time goes on, I'm gonna have more and more people from Los Angeles on the line, and also, inshallah, more and more people from Blog Talk Radio shows, 360 and everything. If anybody want to say something, we only got about another 5 minutes or so. Somebody want to say something, just wait on your phone, and you're welcome. And if not, alhamdulillah, we see 914-464. State your name, tell us where you're calling from. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, we can't hear you, so hit your mute button. You got yourself on mute?
Thank you. I was on mute. Okay. Here we all having a problem with that mute button. We got to put it on or take it off.
Yes, mute.
Yes, I've been listening to you all along since you came on. You're speaking about the... So I was speaking about the mentally ill. That's a real situation there. Matter of fact, I was reading our paper, the Muslim Journal. Uh-huh. Now, it's the Muslim Journal. So even the ARP Bulletin, the Air Force Times, all talking about the mental situation. You know? Got different papers here, about four different weeks of the journals. Speaking about the webinar series ends with children's mental health. Next issue, The mental health of moms, what you need to know. Next issue, this is August 18th to the 19th issue. Biden Harris announced new actions to address mental health in schools. Then we got another, the next issue, what you need to know about California. That's where you are, California. What you need to know about California's new 988 suicide and mental health crisis line. Yes, California's new 988 suicide and mental health issue line. And we go in here with the ARP Bulletin. Speak about our kids in crisis. Well, we try to get away from that word kids. Our children in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Social media, the pandemic, and vast culture change have left a generation anxious and depressed. And the system designed to support them as horses and tattles. Yeah, I'm looking at here that Air Force Times. August 22nd issue. New suicide prevention hotline offers emergency care option. So this is another issue going on to our schools, our children, going in the military. And so this health issue, to get our attention here. So what's causing this health issue? But also, probably, you know, you speak about the what Ethiopians producing, you know, Dr. the Millionaires. Now, we have a company right in within our community. They're dealing with black seed oil from Ethiopia. Abyssinia premium black seed oil. That's coming out of our community. We got an organization, business here. Yeah. Of the original black seed oil in Ethiopia. So you just go and put that in, or listen to the MP60. They come on and hear about what you do send from Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like I say, you've given a lot of information, things for us to look into, and speaking about Shahid, maybe you'll invite Shahid to come on our program as soon as you can, you know, because he's found a niche there dealing with the immigrants. So it'd be good for him to come on early, as soon as you can, you know. Because sounds like he's the person to, we need to hear. Okay, I got another minute, so I'll get off now and let you get ready to say your few words are closing. I don't know.
Yes, sir. Well, yo, thank you all for tuning in. And, I'll me and Shahid, talk about it every day or every other day, especially now. He's trying to get his license. So, I'll tell him. So, if no more is being said, I'll say Al-Fatiha. And inshallah, we'll talk. Or actually, what is it tomorrow? Good God, So, auzubillahi minashaitanir rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim, maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas sirata al-mustaqim.
Yeah, well, they come out strong.